Good evening, class. This is our first class of the school year 21 to 22. I'm excited about it. And in this lesson of spiritual authority, I'm determined to try to, at the end of this session, for you to understand what authority is, how it works, how to submit to it, how not to be a rebellious person, and how to be one of the most efficient persons working with authority within your church, working with your pastor. You'll be your pastor's best help, best friend, if I can say it like that, because you'll be an asset to him and not a debit. We always want to be a help and not a hindrance. So my name is Reverend Gautreau. So for the next few weeks, I'll be instructing you. So if without further ado, I want you to turn your book to lesson one. If you don't have your book, I just want you to listen real good, okay? Lesson one, we're going to be talking about the importance of authority. We're going to be dealing with Romans 13 and 1. So turn your Bible with me to Romans 13 and 1. I'm going to read out the King James Version. And we're going to also go to Hebrews 1 and 3 in this particular lesson here. We're dealing with the importance of authority, and my aim is to try to explain what authority is, and to the best of our understanding, how it functions, and what God's mind is toward authority. All right, so verse 1 of chapter 13 of the book of Romans, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." Now, we can better translate that word power here with authority, and it give you a better understanding because the Greek translation is authority. So let every soul, I'm reading again, let every soul be subject unto the higher authority. For there is no authority but of God, and the authorities that be are ordained of God. All authority comes from God. All authority is ordained by God. Verse 2 says, "Whosoever therefore resisted," now this is a good rebellion word here, resisted, against, opposing, all those are words of rebellion. And as you study this lesson, I want you to notice when in the scriptures, when these certain words are emphasized or are brought out in the scripture, when they were resisting, when they were opposing the apostles and leaders in the book of Moses. We're going to see a lot of rebellion. We're going to go through that in time to come. But I just want you to pay attention. You're going to understand the scripture when it comes to this area of rebellion. Just how much God had to deal with rebellion, even with his own people, his own chosen people. I'm not talking about the Gentiles. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the Israelites, those that God chose them to be his own, rebel against him. And so we're going to find out that a lot of things we're going to read were for our learning and for our admonition. One scripture in 1 Corinthians says that we don't do the same things. God always give us an eye of, how would I say that? Hindsight is always better than foresight. We get hindsight in the scripture. Things that have happened in the past, so we don't repeat those things and do likewise. We don't want to do likewise. So I'm going to read that second verse again. Whosoever therefore resisted the power or the authority resisted the ordinance of God. Notice, the ordinance of God means the word of God. God's word established an authority, and what God did, God had to set this earth under his authority, so he had to put rules and regulation to govern the system here, his kingdom, his system. And I found out over the years that God gave rules and commandments and ordinance. All these things were to test men's heart. See, you don't know you're rebellious until you're given a rule or given an order or given something that you got to comply with. How your heart going to be affected by it, and how you're going to feel. and how you're going to deal with it. So we're going to search your heart these next few weeks. We're going to dig in your heart, find out what you are. Don't say it too quick. I'm not rebellious. No, too early to say that. Because we're going to find out that the scripture is going to reveal all the years that I've been teaching this lesson here. I always thought I had everything together. Then the word began to search me out and show me things that I didn't see and show me parts of me that I didn't know were there. You see, you never know what you got until you're tested by fire, until you're challenged, until you correct it. And then you'll know what's in you. You get those little feelings on the inside of you, could be a bit of rebellion rising up on the inside of you. And you got to deal with it. If you don't deal with rebellion, it's going to deal with you. And so we're trying to protect your heart and make you able to go the long haul. God wants you to go the long haul with him and in this life. All right? And we want, this scripture is not only to correct you, but like Apostle always says, it's to correct you and protect you. So the Bible is twofold all the time. Every time correction comes, there's some form of protection that God meant to do so. Verse 2 again. Whosoever therefore resisted or opposed the power, resist or oppose the ordinance of God. See, sometimes people don't know that. And we're going to get into it a little bit earlier, a little bit later, because I had trouble with red lights. honest as I ever can be. I would get to a red light, and nobody was watching. I would just ease on through it, just me and the light. But I found out I was opposing God. I was opposing God by opposing his ordinance. I was opposing his ordinance by opposing the law that man gets to govern us on this highway. And those laws were governed to protect us, not to frustrate us at a red light with nobody but you and the light there. It seemed like frustration. But it's to test your obedience and to keep you out of harm's way. Amen? We're going to get further into that. But I just threw that out just to give you a little wetting to see where we're going with this lesson here. So if we resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive, notice, underline this word themselves, shall receive to themselves. See, sometimes we damn ourselves. You see it? God not doing it. Sometimes the devil's not doing it. Most of the time we're doing it to ourselves by resisting and by coming against and by opposing. Now watch this now. And I think we're all a little bit guilty. So that's why I say don't be too quick to say you're not rebellious. I think we're all a little guilty of verse 3. Because we have sometimes a wrong picture of authority. When I say authority, I'm talking about those that govern the highways, the policemen and those that try to keep traffic laws and the courts that rule the justice system. I think sometimes we get confused and we think it's just men govern men. But no, God established all authority was established by God. Now, men perverted some of these things. Don't get me wrong. All laws are not from God. Because men pass laws after laws already passed to make it fit themselves. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the law that God established that you know is right. And God wants us to abide by those laws that we know is right and is lined up with the word of God. I'm not talking about perversion because they put all kind of laws. They passed all kind of bills, all kind of things that contrary to God's will, God's word, and what we believe as Christians. But for the majority of it, it's just for safety, protection for us, all right? For rulers, we're going to use that word authorities again because that's what rulers there are. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Well, the only way I can explain this scripture here, terror to good works, is that when you're a law-abiding citizen and you're doing what's right, then let's say, for instance, you're driving on the highway and the speed limit, say, 70 miles an hour. You got your cruise set on 70, and you pass by the officer, and you give him a nice little happy wave because you're glad he's there protecting the neighborhood and community and the highways. But if you just got the pedal to the metal and you flying 80, 90 miles an hour, then the law is a terror to you. Why? Because you're breaking the law and you're fearful of the law. Are you see what I'm saying? Now, because that's not good work, that evil works. Speeding is evil works. And it can cause harm to yourself or someone else. It's evil. It's evil. Have you sped? I'll be proven to raise my hand up. Yeah, I've been evil when it comes to speeding, but I come to understand it as years go by, as you mature in the word and understanding that, no, I'm going to do what is right. I've changed over the years when it comes to these things. Yes, I've changed. I tried to be a law-abiding citizen, and I tried to submit to these laws that govern. I even submit to the red light now. I used to run them earlier in my life. Before I came to knowledge of this, thought I was doing myself a favor because I didn't have time to wait. But I've learned to obey. You see it? I've learned to obey. Many people have got home and hurt, even lost their life because they're in a hurry and didn't obey, didn't know that was authority, that red light. It could have saved someone's life. And I'm not getting to that, but I just want you to see the picture of what we're talking about. They're just natural things I'm bringing out now. But we're going to get into the spiritual aspect of it. But these natural laws, they're all spiritual when it comes to God. Because there's a word we're going to see later in the latter part of this scripture going to call conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your recreated human spirit, and your conscience has something to do with submitting to these things of God here. You see it? You're going to say, don't do it just for rat's sake, for rat, W-R-A-T-A, for rat's sake. But do it for conscience sake. Don't do it for fear of the law's sake, but do it because of your conscience feel like you're being seared. Your conscience, you know, it's been set you apart from God. That's why you want to do it. And we're gonna get into it. So we're gonna find our submission to the attitude of the heart. And I'm trying to give you some insight before really getting to the lesson, you know, to whet your appetite on this lesson here, that how important it is to be able to understand authority. See, the church as a whole have not so much as learned authority. You know, I remember in the 19th chapter of Acts when Paul came to Ephesus, he asked him, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" And these people say, "We have not so much even heard of that being the Holy Ghost." Well, I'm saying, have you understood authority since you believe? So most people can say, Christian, we have not so much even heard of that being authority, spiritual authority. I don't know what it is. I do what I want when I want. I come to church when I want. I listen to pastor when I want. And when I don't want, I don't listen. So we've been ignorant. And the church world has suffered from it because they don't know and understand spiritual authority. But we hope to change that under this apostolic teaching by our Apostle Thompson, and to the guidance of the Holy Ghost, and through your submitting to the Word of God and open your heart. We hope to change some of the thinking of the church world as we know it now when it comes to the place of authority. All right? Now, back to the third verse. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the what? To the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Will thou then not be afraid of the what? Of the authority, of the ruler, of the authority that stands behind him? You see? Now, I'm going to give another example. Now, a police officer, and I see some every day doing this Hurricane Ida situation. They're directing traffic, doing everything else. And they'll hold their hand up. And 18-wheelers, huge trucks, they'll brake and stop right before him. And they have the power to run him right over. Yeah, that big truck can run him right over. No, but it's not so much him. It's the authority that stands behind him that's stopping that big truck. He better not think for 1 minute that he's stopping that truck. No, it's authority. So authority is a powerful thing. And we must understand it. So we must not be afraid of the power. We must not be afraid of the power. But if you are, he said, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You'll be able to praise the authority. Most people can't do it because they don't do what is right. I say most people, I'm not talking about you. Most people don't want to do what is right. And so they fear authority, they murmur against authority, and they say all evil. No, not all authority is right. But the majority of them is for the right thing. You see, that's why God give a discernment. You see it? You aim to do what's right, and God will take care of the rest. You submit for all you can submit, and God will do the rest. You see it? And people got a problem with that. They always want to correct things themselves, and they don't want God to take time and do the correcting for them. God always corrects your authority. All right? Now, what verse I'm in? Verse 4. We're still talking about natural authority here. We haven't gotten to the spiritual aspect of it, but we're in the natural authority, letting you know that God is over what? All authority belongs to God. It's under all of God's heading. See it? Judicial, spiritual, you see it? Secular, however you want to call it. All authority is under God, you see it? Because God is authority, and everything comes from him. All right? Verse 4. For he, talking about the authority, the ruler, is the minister of God to thee for good. The Bible calls him a minister of God. Well, he may not be a minister, a preacher, a fivefold gift. We're talking about someone that do the service of God. They are serving God in what they do. Might not be directly, but indirectly, they're serving God by carrying out the performance of authority to bring order in the earth realm. Does that make sense? If not, it's true anyway. Amen. All right. Let's see. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I remember years ago, that was a minister friend of mine, and he came to the ministry school, the Bible college, the training center, a few years ago, and he was a police officer. And we were talking about this in the lesson, and after the lesson was over, he came up to me and asked me, he said, I got trouble with this. He said, because I carry a gun as a police officer. He said, after I learned by being saved and everything, I want to know, is it right? I said, surely it's right, because you ordained to do that. God ordained. I show him this scripture right here, and it helped him. He carried not the sword in vain. Well, we don't carry swords anymore. Police officers don't carry swords. They carry big guns now, guns that can do much evil, I don't use that word, much damage. Yeah, they can kill, put it like that. They can kill faster than a sword. And so, they have a legal right to carry a sword because they stand behind the law. And everybody don't know and understand, stop, slow down. You see, sometimes they have to issue a greater force, not only to protect them, but to put themselves, but protect others from harm. Because believe it or not, it's that some people have no respect for the law, and the only thing can stop them is a sword. The only thing can stop them is a gun or something that an officer may use to protect and serve. Am I making sense? If not, it's true anyway. Amen. All right, so verse 5. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject. You see it? You need to be subject, submitted. And we're just talking about, we're not talking about spiritual, we're talking about this world system here, this judicial system. We haven't gotten to the spiritual aspect of it yet. But here the scripture saying we need to be submitted to these natural ordinances of God. Wherefore, ye must needs be subjected, not only for wrath, you see, That's the scripture I want to get to. Not only for rat, because you're afraid of them, or because what harm they may do for you, but also for conscience sake. You want to do it because it's the right thing to do. You see it? You see it? Paul talked about his conscience. Paul said in Romans 9 and 1, my conscience bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. You see it? The Holy Ghost testifies to our spirit. It communicates with our spirit. Things that are right and things that are wrong. And it lets you know when your conscience lets you know when you're doing something wrong that you need to get it right. So we Christians live by conscience, not for rat's sake, but for conscience sake. We live on a high degree. The world system live by this other standard here, by rat. But they're afraid for what the law, the penalty. They're afraid for the penalty of the law. No, we fear for the consciousness of the law. That's a grave distance. The penalty of the law is a fearful thing in the natural, but conscience with God. Oh, God, I want to keep a clean conscience. Oh, God, I want my conscience pure before God. I want to make sure I'm doing everything to please God. And that's what the church is. That's what the church should be. We should not be governed by the same standard with the world for rat's sake and just comply with the rules and the laws and the government and for afraid of punishment of the law, afraid to go into jail, afraid of all these other things that the law might do us when we don't apply to the law or comply with the law. So I want you to understand this, Claire. Pay close attention to this. And we get into the sixth verse. For this is the call, for this call. Now, why they had to put this scripture here? My goodness, why they had to put that sixth verse there? I was doing okay. You say, we were doing okay till you put the sixth verse. Look at the sixth verse there. For this call, pay you tribute. Also, we're talking about your taxes. For this, pay taxes. Also, for they are God's ministers. Who are God's ministers? They are God's servants. These people that collect the taxes. The government that collect the taxes. Their job is to govern the system so everybody have welfare. When I say welfare, I'm not saying go on welfare. I'm talking about for the welfare of the people. The government is designed to help people when they can't help themselves. Outside of God. You see? You got people outside of God that don't know how to help themselves. So the government got to step in. But we that are born again, thank be to God. We that have been taught the word of God know that God is our governor and God take care of all of our needs. But you got to have God take care of everybody. The earth is the Lord, the fullness of. He let the sun shine on the just, let it rain on the just and the unjust. See, God's the just God. So God made provision for everybody, the just and the unjust. See, the just shall live by faith, but the unjust live by the government. Amen. Amen. For this call, we pay tribute or taxes also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Now, he tells us why in this seventh verse. Render therefore to all they do. That's why we got to pay our taxes. Even when you don't feel like it. Even when you think it's unfair. Even when you think it's too much. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Amen. Amen. I just have to read that scripture. Now turn with me again. I didn't mean to stay there that long. To Hebrews 1. We got to cover these two scriptures prior to getting into the lesson. These scriptures are going to give you understanding of the things that are going to be said because I got some points to give you. We got some points that are going to help us to understand and put us in the right direction in this lesson. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Just give me a minute. Hebrews 1, verse 3. You got it yet? Here it is. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Now listen closely at this one, because this one here is beginning to talk about the spiritual side of it, of authority, and what authority is and where it comes from. And so you need to pay close attention to the spirit side. The other side was the world system side. Now this is going to be the spiritual side of it, and we're going to spend more time on the spiritual side, because that's what this real lesson is all about, spiritual authority. Now look, so verse 3 said, who being? And now, who being is talking about Jesus here. I want you to know that if you read the whole context. Who being the brightness of his glory. Now, Jesus being the brightness of whose glory? Of God's glory. You see it? And the express image of his person. Now, I like this scripture because it's twofold. It says Jesus being the brightness of God's glory. God's glory is exemplified through Jesus. Everything that God is, Jesus is. So when Jesus was here on earth as a man, he expressed God's image and God's glory, God's likeness, God's being. And so he was, if you want to know what God is like, all you do is look at Jesus. All you do is look at the life of Jesus. All you do is read all the red letters in the New Testament. And that's what the glory of God. That's what God felt. That's what God understood. That's how God saw things. You see? And that's how God wants us to see things through the eyes of Jesus. So Jesus being God's glory, you see, in the express image of his person, the exact image. Somebody, yeah, I don't know what God like. Look at Jesus. He's the exact image of God. And so, and the express image of his person. And I like this part here. And this is what we want to get to here. And upholding, everybody say upholding. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Now notice God didn't say upholding all things by the power of his word. But yet, see the spirit, the scripture says exactly what it meant. That's why, you see, you got to take the scripture by revelation. Upholding all things by the word of his power. He didn't say the power of his word. He said the word of his power. Well, to understand that, we got to understand two other things. We got to understand what God's power is. And we got to understand what God's authority is. And I'm going to go through that in just a minute here. See, because power is one thing, and authority is another thing. And when we understand what I'm about to show you in a few minutes here, then you're going to see exactly why God didn't say upholding all things by the power of his word. So let me read it all the way through. Then we're going to go through the notes that we have here. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things. Talking about his creation. No, Jesus, the one created everything. Upholding all things by the word of his power when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see that? Now, what is that saying? Jesus upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, notice this. Notice this. Let me put it in another way you can see it. Upholding all things. Now, when God created the heavens and the earth, when God said, let there be light, when God planted all the stars and the solar system in place, when God located the sun and the earth in its proper perspective, the right distance. So one man said, a scientist said, if the earth was just a millimeter closer to the sun, it would burn everything up. God knows just how close to put everything precisely. And guess what? He upholding that by the word of his power, of his authority. God's authority is keeping everything in place. Everything, the sun still come up in the morning and go down in the evening. See, still night and day, still summer, winter, spring, and fall. All these things are upheld by the word of his power, of his authority. In other words, it's upheld. If God said it, it still remains that way. That's authority that does that. Nothing, no man can change what God has done. You see it? God's word set it in place. Let there be light. Nothing can take God's light out until the fullness of time comes. You see, when God decides everything is over and this world has come to an end, that's when everything gonna change, when God says it's gonna change. All right? Now, let's go to a few notes right now. Let's go to a few. Lesson one, the acts of God in your book. If you don't have your book, just listen real close. The acts of God issue from his throne, and his throne is established on his authority. Now, that's a little bit blind. I'm going to read that again. The acts of God issued from his throne, and his throne is established on his authority. Well, let me explain that to you in where you can get it. You see it? So my job as a teacher is to put it where you can get it. In other words, I got to define what God's acts are, the acts of God. See, the psalmist talks about God's act. Moses, he showed the children of Israel his acts, and he showed Moses his ways. So that word acts is in the psalm. And see, and ways are another thing. Ways are Moses was that personal with God. Children of Israel, they saw the results of his action. What they saw was his action. His acts is his action. Okay, let me his orders. The orders of God issued from his throne. See, that sounds better, huh? You see? And his throne is established from his authority. So all the orders from God are issued from his throne. Everything God says and does on planet Earth to us as Christians, men and women, everything was issued from his throne. That's where God sits and seats in his position of authority. And what he's saying that his throne is established on authority. Why? Because he is authority. What is God? God, who is God? God is authority. Everything comes and starts, begins, and ends with God. There's nothing before him, nothing after him, nothing above him, nothing beneath him. God is God in all. Nothing is done without him. You see it? The Bible talks about Jesus. Without him, there was nothing made that was made. See? That's authority. So the act of God issued from his throne, and his throne is established on his authority. God's authority is absolute. Nothing stands before it or above it. I hope you understand that. All things are created through God's authority. And all physical laws of the universe are maintained by his authority. You see it? All physical laws, not only created by, not everything created, but they're maintained by God's authority. You see, one thing. It's one thing to create something, another one to maintain something. See, God creates apostles and teaching on health. God creates our body. You don't think his authority is able to maintain it? You see it? That's just one example. Whatever God creates, he's able to maintain. You see it? The Bible expresses it as upholding all things by the word of his power, which means upholding all things by the word of the power of his authority. Power and authority are two different things. Authority, this I'm explaining now, so pay attention. It might be a quiz question. Authority is who God is. And listen to this now. And power is the release of his authority. And see, I'm going to say it again. Authority is who God is. We established that a few minutes ago. Authority is who God is. And power is the release of that authority. When God created heaven and earth, God said, let there be light. His authority created the heaven and earth. But his power released the ability of creation. That's his word. The authority created it, and his word released it. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And I'm going to say this. God gave us that same creative ability. Yes, he did. That's authority. He gave it to us. You can define power as the release of God's authority through his word. You see it? Hope you understand what I'm saying, Claire. Now, here's another one. Here's another one you got to pay close attention to. And we're going to get into this more. We're going to get into this more as we go. You see it? And so, listen at it. Sin against power. See, all these things that I'm explaining now go to undergird the entirety of the lesson. So you got to get this foundation, these foundations truth here. Sin against power, what we just explained. Sin against power, we say power was the release of God's authority or his command. His command, or put another thing, the release of his word. You see, God's word is power. Stands for power because it releases God's ability. God's word is his power because it releases his ability. You see it? Now, sin against power, that very power I'm talking about, is more easily, let me say it again. Sin against power is sin against God's word or his command. You got that? For God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. God's authority represents God himself, whereas his power stands only for his act. What does that mean? God's power stands for his act. What does that mean? That means when you sin against God's power, you're sinning against God's commandment. For instance, I'm going to use, thou shalt not steal. That's a commandment. So, when I sin against God in that aspect, I'm sinning against God's power. And 1 John 1:9, see, if you confess your sin, see, 1 John 1:9 can take care of this sin. If you confess your sin, say, Lord, I've stole, I shouldn't have stole, I ain't going to steal no more. But I'll just use that for example. But 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, that's sin against God's power. It's more easily forgiven than sin against God's authority. Now, see, God's authority is God himself. You don't want to sin against God's authority because sin against God's authority is rebelling against who he is, competing with him. You see it? Making yourself equal with him. That's rebellion. That's what rebellion does. It's opposing God. And so when you come to that place of opposing, you come to find out that sin against authority is a sin that I don't want to commit. And guess what? The church ignorantly commits that sin of authority when it's sinned against one of God's delegation. When you sin against God, it's going to get better. When you sin against God's delegated authority, guess what? You're sinning against God himself. And therefore, you got to deal with God directly. But when you sin against his power, you can go straight to 1 John 1:9. Say, Lord, see, if I confess my sin, your favor, just forgive me. See, that's sinning against God's holiness, God's word and holiness. That holiness deals with your conduct, your moral living. That's a whole different sin, you see, than sinning against authority itself. So, class, we're going to get into it further. I just want you to know that you see where we're going with this lesson. And you got to read this over and over again to understand. But I said some key things. If you took notes and those key things that I said, then you're going to be okay because they're going to keep you up with what we're going to talk about in the next lesson. Class, I hope you learned something tonight. I want you to go in peace.